Welcome to the Veritas Equipping Podcast, a podcast designed to provide insight, resources, and biblical wisdom. Our mission as Veritas Church is raise up mature disciples, send out everyday missionaries, glorify God. Join us as we pursue Jesus to become mature disciples and effective disciple makers for God's glory. All right, church, welcome back to the Equipping Podcast. We have another installment of the Beyond the Message series where we talk through three questions from Sundays. Sometimes you get some bonus questions because I can add a bunch of questions into one question. But you've got Sam here coming to you this morning, this afternoon, whenever you're listening to it, joined with Jake. Jake, how are you doing this morning?
Doing well.
And again, in this series, we just like to take some extra time. We receive God's word on Sunday morning. Jake preaches, whoever else is preaches. And sometimes after the dust settles, there's like, I kind of wish I would have like gone harder with this point or could have unpacked this a little bit different. So, as with, you know, God's word is a rich treasure trove of truths and is impacting us as live and active. We're never going to fully cover everything and do it all of the justice that it deserves. But it's our responsibility as preachers, Bible teachers to, open up God's word and do our best to talk through that. So anyways, we've got three questions here this morning. We're continuing in our 2 Corinthians series. Yesterday we were in 2 Corinthians 2, 12 through 17. And, again, just continuing to unpack this, conflict that was taking place between, the church in Corinth and some leaders and Paul and ultimately seeking to find unity and rest in the gospel there. So Paul's showing the church in Corinth an example of genuine faith. And we see this get lived out in servanthood, sacrifice, and really dying to ourselves. So Jake, you opened up the word yesterday. Main idea was genuine faith is shown through God-focused, Christ-rooted servanthood. Blessed by our time yesterday morning. And as always, our first question, if you had more time in your message, Jake, to expand or include something else, what would that be?
Yeah, I think there's a message, or there's probably four different messages in verse 17.
Okay.
And that didn't get a lot of time. Just kind of flew through sincerity, being commissioned by God, in sight of God and in Christ.
Yeah.
All of those themselves could be unpacked more.
Sure.
And there's just rich truth in those. So that was kind of at the tail end, and we went into it, but I wish, boy, we could do a week on each one of those and what
yeah.
it means.
Yeah, you have a part two or kind of make that into a teaching series for a conference, or you really break that down and have more time.
Yeah, it's a phrase. This specifically the last one of being in Christ,
yeah.
that's something Paul uses a lot. What does that mean to be in Christ?
Yeah.
To unpack that more, to be commissioned by God, to live in sight of God. Those are all things that, boy, we could spend a lot of time on, and they're great truths.
Yeah, that's sweet. Anything else?
That'd probably be the big one for
okay.
that
sweet.
Text.
I think you made a comment, at least at the 8 a.m., about sending some emails or people sending you emails, which unfortunately is a reality. Sometimes there are those. There
yeah.
are those emails that are come from a place of like, I don't agree with you, I'm offended. But there's
sure.
a lot of times that we do get conversations that come through, because what we're seeking to do is we're preaching God's word, and it's like it's meant to be applied to your life.
Yeah.
And when you apply it to your life and you're in the middle of a sticky situation, it's like, hey, what do I do? How do I walk through this? How do I honor God in this? So,
and we welcome all emails,
absolutely.
Even those coming from a hard place, because it is an opportunity to pastor people and care for them, and something pricked a nerve, and we want to love them well in that. So yes, we welcome all emails,
and it highlights just the role that we're called to as shepherds to like, hey, something's exposed here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this. But I think a cool thing too, I know oftentimes people come up either to pray after a service or catch you and say like, hey, you said like, do you get that on Sunday mornings? Not like you're like looking for feedback to live edit and change your message from sermon to sermon, but having some of those conversations afterwards where maybe people that are in relationship with you or yeah. they've got another pastor like, hey, Jake said this. Can you help me understand?
Yeah, I love it. It's very helpful because sometimes you're not aware how things were heard
yeah.
or it came across.
Right.
So I've had really helpful conversations with people between services of, oh, that was taken that way. I meant it this way, or I need to make some adjustments next time. So I love getting to talk with people after the service about clarifying, helping apply. Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Maybe speaking more clearly, like on Easter when people assume that we have a French problem a fringe problem. No,
I'm not the most articulate, so I appreciate all the help I can get. There's been some other blunders that we won't go into. That's yeah, like, I wish I wouldn't have said that, but.
Yeah.
I did get an email from a brother, he was saying, I don't think you're a biscuits and gravy guy. I think you're more of a steak and potatoes guy, which I really appreciate. But I was like, I think that's probably the same category, but
it's just a sub point. It's, yeah. it's a different, a different time of the day for the meal.
Yeah.
You know? Which is cool that, even kind of thinking through this in church, I know we've said that there are some things coming with this podcast will eventually spin off and become its own feed. But I think one of the things that came to light in the last couple of weeks is, Jake, we're going to, and we've talked about this, have a way for a phone number that as questions come up, not necessarily just during the message, like we're not going to send you a live feed of like interact, but because that's not a helpful time and place and context for that. Like it would be at a conference or something else. Or a panel discussion, but to be able to send in like, hey, here's my situation here, or I've got a question about this. And then, you know, between Sunday, you know, maybe somebody's thinking through that Sunday evening, they can text in. And then before we do this podcast, have some time to talk through like, hey, somebody sent in a message about this.
Yeah.
And so,
no, I'm super excited about this idea. If you have questions that come up during the sermon and you text that in, we'll try to address those on this podcast. And that'd be really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even for the time being, before we get that set up, if there's something that comes up, you're a regular listener and you want to say like, hey, can you guys consider talking about this on the podcast? You can send me an email, sam@veritaschurch.org, and just say podcast question or something along the lines. We're just kind of thinking through, we'll call that like questions from the seats.
And I would
have some engagement there on this podcast.
And this one's set up specifically for questions that come out of a sermon because this podcast is beyond the message.
Yep.
But if you have other just questions that you want your pastors to talk about, send them to Sam and we'll do a separate podcast to try to address those.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great. And to continue to lean into relationships, like not just saying, hey, we need to make everything a podcast, but sometimes we decide on things that we're going to podcast on because it's like we keep getting this question.
Yeah, if there's a bunch of them, we'll do a podcast. If it's just one, maybe we'll grab lunch.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I love that. So excited about that change. But continuing on here, Jake, so the second question, I like the imagery or kind of the illustration that you used of just the smell, like you talked at one point, I think, saying something about like the having the scent of world all over, like you got Christianity with world all over it. And like that kind of talking about wrinkling your nose at things that shouldn't smell like, you know, what authentic Christianity, what that smell is. So what are things that we're prone to grow accustomed to in Christian living that should actually make us wrinkle our noses? Like that idea of like, you know, you got a bad smell and you like sit in it for like 10, 15 minutes. You're like, oh, it doesn't really smell that bad. And like, no, it still smells bad. You just get used to it. You just got used to it.
Isn't there like a fragrance commercial that you grow nose? Well, it's like the air fresheners thing. I'm missing
some breezer.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Some kind of like nose blind or something.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. You just get used to your smell. Like we went on vacation this past summer and we came back and I opened our house like, do we smell like that? Like it just kind of sat empty for a while and we got a cat. So there's some things that contributed to that, but when you live in it, you just get used to it. And as Christians that live in a fallen, broken world as sinners, we get used to things we shouldn't get used to.
Yeah.
So I think we always have to be, alert to getting comfortable with worldliness. It's all around us.
Yep.
It's water to a fish. It's air that we breathe constantly, and we can grow numb to the things we shouldn't grow numb to.
So what do you think some of those things, like categories, that we should be hey, let's be like, this seems to be a thing that frequently comes up.
Sure. There's an illustration that people give that's actually false, but
okay.
The point is still valid, is like, if you put a frog in water and slowly boil it over time, he won't jump out, you know, just boil to death. Not true. They will jump out. Not going to say I've tested that or not, but the point is still valid. Like, slow change over time becomes unnoticed.
Yeah.
And there's a drift. You can talk about different periods of time where things have accelerated, but over time, it seems like the current of our world is to secularism, not godliness.
Yeah.
So you look at even, no matter what your convictions or conclusions about it, what is popular fashion trends today would have defined you as a prostitute 50 years ago. Mm. So, there's been change in that. What was allowed on TV 50 years ago today, there's been a change in that. So that's just fashion entertainment, but that's true throughout life. There are things that we wouldn't have tolerated. Even a society wouldn't have tolerated this now mainstream.
Yeah.
So that's an example of us getting used to something over time that we shouldn't get used to.
But the point isn't, let's go back and just make decisions like we're in the 1950s. The point is, like, does this glorify God? Like, am I honoring God with all of my life in entertainment?
Right. But I do think you have to exist as a human being in history and say, okay, there has been movement.
Sure.
So am I just embracing things I shouldn't embrace?
Yeah.
Am I too much of a product of this world and not enough of a product of the kingdom of God?
Yeah. So where do you think that shows up? Like you said, clothing,
entertainment. I think fashion and entertainment are kind of an easy one to point out because it's really obvious as far as, like, I mean, you go back to, you're talking about the 50s, in sitcoms where you had a married couple, they didn't even sleep in the same bed. They didn't do that. I mean, infidelity.
Wow.
You know, those kind of scenes are just everywhere.
Yeah.
So entertainment, fashion, there's a change.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that in those two areas is an easy one to look into, like, hey, have I just kind of gone along with the world more than I should? Do just things that should stink to a godly person not stink to me mm-hmm. anymore? So
even like, I mean, you could get super legalistic and be like, if you're not making decisions like this, it's not, like, it doesn't honor the Lord. But thinking through the categories where it's like, even the way that people begin a dating relationship, like, is that informed by biblical views of relationship and who God is and who he's calling you to be? Yeah. Or is that more of like, no, this is kind of just how we date as, mm-hmm. you know, 21st century human beings.
Yeah. Everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
It's very common.
If your justification for doing something is, well, everybody's doing
it. It's mainstream.
Yeah.
Right.
That's not helpful. So clothing, entertainment, relationships, how you handle time, your talents, your treasures, like
work. You put everything has been affected by worldliness, and you just have to step back and be like, yeah, how much of this is me just going along with the mainstream, and how much is me fighting for a life that honors God in all that I do?
That's kind of just like thinking through this last night with Kirsten of, like, well, how do we do that? Like, how do we realize, no, this actually does stink? It's like, you immerse yourself in God's word and you make your life more about him and you understand his character. So it's like, we aren't just reading God's word to, like, know more. We're reading God's word to be
a product of that kingdom.
Exactly.
So when you're so used to American culture and then you go and experience another culture, you notice all the differences.
Yep.
If you're so immersed in kingdom culture, godliness, God's truth, his word, and then you go into the world, you notice You'll be aware of the disconnect.
Yeah.
And I don't think we are as much because we're probably more immersed in our worldliness than we are in kingdom values.
Hmm. Just walking around with a bunch of stench on us and unaware, right? Yeah. Hmm. Third question here, Jake. What are helpful filters to discern if a spiritual influence is peddling a false gospel? So that was kind of that one that at the end of your message, right before you got into that 17, where's the peddlers?
Yeah, verse 17, yeah. Kind of the, you got some religious hustlers.
Yep. So if that's what they're doing, like where do we see that? How can we be aware of or have some filters to like discern this is off?
I mean, the master religious hustler shows up in Genesis 3 and tells really crafty lies that have a whole bunch of truth in them. And just like peddling, that word that we talked about is used to describe like, hey, you watered down wine. Well, still a lot of wine in there. You use false scales and weights, right? Yeah. Well, they're still scales and weights. They're just not genuine. They're not true. Right. So I think the best lies have a lot of truth in them. There's a peddling or a twisting of the truth. And in our sinful flesh, we're going to hold on to the truth part of what's being told and ride it into the lie as well and kind of justify the rest of it. And what's common behind both the peddlers in Corinth and the deception in Genesis 3 was it wasn't a God-centered motive. It was a man-centered motive.
Yeah.
It wasn't about obeying God. It was about advancing your position. You know, this fruit, this will make you wise. Mm-hmm. You'll be like God. So I think when you look at what's being taught, is it all about man and the glorification of man, or is it ultimately about the glorification of God? Because there's a lot of truth in, like, I think the biggest religious peddling is the prosperity gospel in our world, that God wants you healthy, wealthy, and wise. And there's a lot of verses to tag on to that. There is a sense that you got places in scripture to go to support that. It's just so out of proportion of what the gospel calls us to that it's an error. So I think we have to know the whole counsel of God, and we have to look behind the curtain to be like, is this about God and his glory, or is this put man at the center?
Yeah. Which is making me, as you were talking about that, just thinking like 2 Timothy 4:3, for there will be a time when people will not tolerate sound doctrine and accurate instruction, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teacher in accordance with their own desires, which is the heart of that. Like the heart of it is like, oh, they're, but it's a teacher. This is somebody that's like, yeah, but you're looking inward first before you're coming to the Lord, where it's like, no, lay it all down at the foot of the cross.
And I think that's maybe to kind of loop back to your second question, one of the stink that gets on us that we don't wear are aware of is a Christianity that has put us at the center. And Christ or God becomes like the genie to give me my desires. And he exists for to be at my beck and call and command, that I don't exist for him. He exists for me.
Yeah.
And there's enough kind of truth that like God is for me, but it's such a reversal, a twist that, we need to be more attentive to that.
Yeah, that's good. Any parting words?
I'm loving 2 Corinthians. Yeah, I'm just enjoying personally and as a church. It's got a lot of truth in there for us.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Jake, thanks again for joining us this morning. Church, again, let's continue to be people who express genuine faith by showing that through God-focused, Christ-rooted servanthood. Continue to be impacted by God's word. Continue to dive into 2 Corinthians, apply this. And again, if there's any questions that you have, feel free to send them our way. We'd love to talk through that and have this be an opportunity to have some more interaction. And if you have a question about something that gets said on Sunday, there's a good chance that somebody else does. So let's do the hard work of continuing to seek that the Spirit would convict us and challenge us to pursue truth and righteousness and be a transformed people, all for God's glory. Church, we love you. Thanks, Jake.